Turn your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. We have been studying quite a few lessons for this hour, for several weeks, dealing with our relationship toward one another. Many different statements and admonishments that we have in the New Testament about those relationships. The one another passages, if you will. And today we want to consider another one. So I'd like to direct our attention to 1 Peter 4, verses 8 and 9. 1 Peter 4, verses 8 and 9. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. And this, in this series, I'm going to have a lesson, Lord willing, next Lord's Day on just the admonition to love one another. To love one another. And that's so basic and fundamental. And I think that will probably end the series. We see how that admonition to love one another relates to so many of these other lessons that we have dealt with. We see it right here because prior to saying that we should be hospitable to one another, we're reminded to keep fervent in our love for one another. And that love just covers so much. In this case, it says love covers a multitude of sins. So we see how so many things are determined by that. So we'll explore that more next Lord's Day, Lord willing. But in this lesson, I want us to think about what the New Testament says about being hospitable to one another. You know, there are some questions that have come to mind that we'll think about a little bit. One is, what did hospitality mean in a practical way to those who live in Bible times? And has it changed in our own present circumstances? And perhaps more important than all of that is, what are the principles that we ought to learn that stand at the heart of being hospitable now or any other age in which we live? So let's think about this. First of all, I'd like for us to consider the meaning of the term. The meaning of the term that's translated hospitality, or to be hospitable, is a word that literally means friendship to strangers. Friendship to strangers. It kind of was coincidental, I think, that we ended up spending some time in our Bible class talking about the parable of the Good Samaritan and the importance of recognizing the extent of our neighbors and how we ought to treat strangers. Certainly, this word hospitality, that's the idea, friendship to strangers. And in ancient society, both among the Jews as well as among the Gentiles, the practice of hospitality was considered to be a virtue. This was something that was widely extolled in various writings from ancient times. It was a very important part of one's character and part of one's relationship to their fellow man. In the scriptures, Christians are taught to practice hospitality toward all. There's no limit to that. And that parable, of course, I think brings that out. We remember that in Hebrews chapter 13, the opening of that chapter, the writer appeals there to the Old Testament example of Abraham. You remember in Genesis chapter 18 that Abraham was visited by three strangers and ends up showing hospitality to those three strangers. And, of course, one of them turned out to be the Lord, who on that occasion revealed why they were there to begin with, and that was he promised Abraham and Sarah that they would have a son in the following year. And all of that story just kind of reminds me of something that that Jesus said near the end of his earthly ministry, Matthew chapter 25, when he's describing the scene of the judgment and the separation of the sheep and the goats and everything that's part of that image there, that he says that welcoming the stranger who comes your way ends up being the same as showing hospitality to Jesus. Jesus says, I was a stranger and you welcomed me. So we see the importance of, you know, that welcoming spirit, showing hospitality in that way, being friends with strangers. But we also see that in the New Testament, because Christians were drawn together by brotherly love, as you see here in verse 8, as kind of the preface to this, Christians are knit together with the bonds of brotherly love. They especially ought not fail to extend hospitality toward one another. And so he says, be hospitable to one another without complaint. It seems that he is especially focusing on the relationship that we have as Christians, one toward another, in showing this spirit of hospitality. In New Testament times, many Christians went about preaching the gospel. And so we know that Acts chapter 8 talks about those that were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. And so it was, of course, the apostles were doing that, but many Christians were doing that as well. They went to different places and to take the gospel with them. And many of them were forced to leave home, as we see exemplified in Acts 18, in the case of Ananias and Sapphira. Aquila and Priscilla, it was in that case. Aquila and Priscilla, the couple there who had to leave home, and there they were now in Corinth. And so under those circumstances, inns for travelers were not real good places. They were both dangerous and of doubtful repute. And they were known to be places where moral temptations abounded. And so Christian travelers might not want to stay in places like that when they're going from place to place. And so that being part of the circumstance of that day and time, the hospitality of fellow saints would be especially important, wouldn't it? So you think about that. But we're taught in the New Testament to show hospitality to one another. And it's just a prominent thing in the New Testament. We recently saw in our study of the Gospel of Luke in chapters 9 and 10 that on two different occasions Jesus sent disciples out to preach the kingdom. The first time it was the 12 that he sent out in chapter 9, and in chapter 10 he sends out 70 to go out and to go to various towns and villages and to proclaim the message of the kingdom. And in both cases, part of the instructions to these who were sent out was that they were to stay in the homes of those that they met along the way and accept what they offered, accept their hospitality. It implies that how important that was under those ancient circumstances. A different way of looking at this is to see that in at least two different situations, the importance of giving hospitality served as a qualification of a person's godliness. So in both 1 Timothy and Titus, one of the qualifications for those who would be church leaders, those who would serve as shepherds, as elders in the Lord's church, was that they were given to hospitality. That was a requirement, that they should have that disposition, that openness of heart. Welcoming spirit, you see. Also, we see in 1 Timothy 5 that when the Apostle Paul is describing to Timothy how the church needs to care for those who are widows indeed, and he goes through and talks about what it means to be a widow indeed, and there are various criteria they need to meet, one of which was that they were of a certain age, another was that they didn't have close relatives that were available to take care of them. So the church was to take care of the needs of those who were widows indeed. Well, one of the things that's stated of these women who would be put on the list, as Paul puts it, is that they had a reputation for good works, including showing hospitality to strangers. So there you see it again. This would show that how godly they were and that they deserved to be put on the list for the assistance of the church in those circumstances. So it was something that was important in the early church to show friendship to strangers, to help whether these strangers were people who were not Christians and had come from a long distance, or whether they were strangers that who were fellow Christians who had come from another place, that especially was true. We might have fewer opportunities to practice the same kind of hospitality that was often done in ancient times. I think we have to acknowledge that. It's a different culture that we're in, different circumstances that we find ourselves in. But that being said, I would argue that the basic principle and the basic attitude of heart ought to be the same for us. And that attitude, that disposition, attitude of heart is, it's an open, welcoming heart. And I think that's what this is about. Friendship to strangers. It starts in the heart. It starts with the kind of attitude we have toward those around us that have needs that we might be able to assist them with. One of the things that we see here in verse 9 here of this text, where he says, be hospitable to one another, he says, do it without complaint. Do it without complaint. That is, without a grudging attitude or without murmuring and that kind of thing. We know why that's true, because sometimes these circumstances can be inconvenient for us. They can be something that takes some time and some of our resources and some effort on our part to help others. And so he says, don't complain about it. It's a privilege. The kind of brotherly love that's spoken of here is one that leads a person to do this with an open, generous heart, a welcoming heart. That's why I think it's important to see this statement in the whole context. You know, chapter verse divisions sometimes get in the way of reading the text of the Bible. And those weren't there at the beginning. And they're helpful to help us go from one place to another, but we don't want to lose the flow of things. And he says, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins, and be hospitable to one another without complaint. He's talking about our relationship with one another. We're all through that. And it starts with loving one another fervently. And if we love one another, then it's just a natural thing for us to help one another when needs arise. To have that open and welcoming attitude to help one who is in need. I think it's the same kind of open heart that we read about in the 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. You know, Paul's writing there writing to the Corinthians and writing about the need to help, to contribute to the fund that Paul was collecting from various churches in Macedonia to help the needy saints in Judea, in Jerusalem, because there was famine going on there. It was a hard time, a crisis going on. And you remember that in chapter 8, he actually uses the example of the churches of Macedonia, and he says that in a great deal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. They were generous, and they gave according even beyond their ability. That means they sacrificed. And then it says, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints, and this not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. And so he uses that example of these churches in Macedonia for having this open, welcoming spirit toward their brothers and sisters in Christ, even those in another place. And so he comes down in chapter 9, and he says in verse 6, I say this, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, we often quote this as one of the passages we quote when we have a lesson on the Sunday contribution. And that's part of it, having a cheerful heart. But we don't want to lose sight of the fact that Paul gave that instruction. He's giving that instruction. He's dealing with a problem. He's dealing with a need that existed among Christians who live hundreds of miles away from where they were. And they were struggling to live. And so he's appealing to Christians there in Corinth to be generous, have that open heart. I think that's the spirit behind what's called hospitality, the love of strangers. And so he says here, do it without complaint. God loves a cheerful giver. And sometimes that applies to people we might see out in the world. I know that we can't feed everybody we see in the world that's hungry. We can't fill every need. The poor will always be with us. But sometimes situations just get real close to us. And I've got to confess to you, Kathy is my better half, and that she's has much more tender heart. And if we're going into the store and there's somebody out there and they're out there obviously going through some hard times, if she's got any money on it, she'll help. And you know, that's what we're talking about here, I think, ultimately. I know that sometimes we worry about what's somebody going to do with the good money. They're going to go out and make their way fast as they can to the next first liquor store. Maybe they will. Can't control all that. I've heard of some people who prepared ahead of time for such situations. One case I saw was somebody that we knew that was very close to us, that they had collected some necessities like toothpaste and soap and fuel necessities like that, and they put them in little plastic bags and they kept them in the back seat of their car. And when they come across somebody like that, you give them this. Here, maybe this will help you. And I recently heard about somebody else that did it this way. They were often running to people like that, especially those that maybe come around the church building and were wanting help. And so instead of giving them money, they had purchased a few gift cards to different places. They could use this to get what they need at Walmart or wherever it might be, a restaurant or wherever it is. Give them that. We can do things if we want to do that. And I'm not prescribing that we do any particular one thing. What I'm saying is, let's have an open, welcoming heart for people, because that's what's behind this. And so Peter's exhortation here in 1 Peter 4 is given in the context of brotherly love. Be fervent in your love for one another, a spirit of love and kindness and generosity that wants to be hospitable, and a willingness to share one's home and possession and food, especially toward fellow saints. And you know, if we're not going to be hospitable toward one another, who are we going to be hospitable to? It starts, like so many things, starts at home, and it starts in our physical homes. It starts also in our spiritual home. Same thing in Romans 12, verse 13, and Paul there talks about practicing hospitality, is preceded by contributing to the needs of the saints, contributing to the needs of the saints. So he says, verse 13, contributing to verse 12, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, and practicing hospitality. The point is, it's more than just giving. It involves being aware of others' needs and doing something about it. And we run into that all the time in churches, don't we? In the church families that we've all been part of, there are times where those need special help. And it just speaks, you know, this more open, warm spirit. It speaks of warmth and kindness. And as saints, we are to be given to hospitality. It springs from a heart that cares for others, that opens itself toward people, a welcoming heart. And then I want to say this, that we never know the good that these little acts of kindness might do. You know, a few things are more painful in life than lost opportunities. We think about that. We all have opportunities, and we look back and say, well, maybe I could have done something, made a difference. We all are there. I'm right there. So much good can come from a warm, welcoming heart, a hospitable spirit. There are many who are lonely. There are those who are weak and need to be strengthened. There are those who are hurting who need to be comforted. And we don't have to look very far to find those situations. We can find those kinds of needs right among ourselves. Our hospitality can help in the cause of the gospel. I can tell you, I have been on the receiving end of such warm welcome and hospitality numerous times when I've gone somewhere to preach in a gospel meeting. And, you know, I don't know what I would have done being there all by myself far away if I didn't have that. And sometimes Kathy's gone with me when the kids got old enough. We didn't have to carry the whole family. She would go with me on a lot of these. And it's so nice to go places and know that there are brethren who are willing to help. And it's such a wonderful thing because it's an opportunity to get to know brethren better, to understand what they may be going through. And it's an encouragement. It's an encouragement in the world to experience kindness of that kind and warmth to be made to feel at home. And our hospitality can build stronger relationships with one another in our own church family and promote unity among the brethren. It cultivates a sense of family in our congregation. And I think that applies to when visitors come and when they come and walk into this little building and they receive such a warm welcome as if we're saying, "Welcome into our house of worship." I can tell you the way we felt when we came here the first time. And all that part of the same thing, this friendship to strangers, this open and welcoming heart that we extend to one another, including those who come our way. And so, good question for us: would a visitor or a new member in our congregation be made to feel more welcome? Would a neighbor whom we have invited to church and with whom we want to share the gospel be made more open and receptive to the good news? And if all this was done to the glory of Christ, wouldn't we rejoice to hear Him say, "To the extent that you did it to one of these, you did it to me"? And so He put hospitality right there in that list, didn't He, in the Day of Judgment? Let me conclude with this thought. The gospel invitation, we might think of the gospel invitation. We offer it all the time. Every time we give a lesson, we offer an invitation. We do it on Wednesday night. Every time we get together, some of it's a tradition, we offer a gospel invitation. It is a mighty good one because it's at the heart of the gospel message. And the gospel invitation, we might think of it as an invitation by the Savior to open the door and let Him come in. Now, I didn't just make that up because that's something that we read about in the Scripture, don't we? We see that one time we see when Jesus on one occasion met a tax collector named Zacchaeus. And He said, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." He's inviting himself to this stranger's house. He says, "Today salvation has come to this house because he too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." But then I also think of what Jesus said to one of the seven churches in Revelation chapter 3. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him and he with me." Yes, Jesus has extended invitation, and the invitation is His invitation for us to open the door and invite Him in. Like the song we sing, "Let Him in, there's a stranger at the door. Let Him in, He has been there oft before. Let Him in, ere He is gone. Let Him in, the Holy One, Jesus Christ, the Father's Son. Let Him in." So we're going to stand and sing a song now, and that's our invitation for anyone who may be subject to it. Let's stand as we sing.